And this brings me to the last line of the poem, but one. Off with your shoes. 'Tis holy ground. Depart. So the first four lines of the poem envisage a certain situation. A situation in which the scholars are asked, what is Buddhism? And in which they simply go and consult their dictionaries. The next two lines of the poem describe our reaction to their response. We feel disappointed, frustrated, even angry. In the next two lines, I ask a question. I ask if the scholars really can do no more than advise us to read their latest scientific paper on Buddhism. The question is, of course, rhetorical. I'm really saying, well, they can't help us at all. So in the next line, I address the scholars directly, and I say, off with your shoes. 'Tis holy ground. Depart. Now, what is this holy ground? This holy ground is the human soul. And I'm not using the word soul in any strict theological sense. I'm using the word soul for that deeper, more essential part of us that feels and suffers and aspires. I could also use the word heart. And Keats, the poet John Keats, you may remember, speaks of the holiness of the heart's affections. So what do I mean by saying to the scholars, off with your shoes? What I mean is, show respect for people's feelings, especially their deeper feelings. Take their questions seriously. Take them seriously, even if they can't express themselves very well, even if they are a bit muddled in their thinking. And this applies not only to scholars in the field of Buddhism, it applies to the pundits and know-alls of the media as well. And it applies to us. We may disagree with people's views, but we shouldn't abuse people on account of those views. And we shouldn't ever describe the views themselves as offensive or insulting or bizarre, etc. These are purely subjective judgments and tell us nothing about the validity or invalidity of the views themselves. But I haven't quite finished with that line. The last word is depart. It's not enough that the mere scholars should show respect for people's feelings. They are, in fact, one might say, incapable of showing respect for them. They're oblivious to them. So the best thing they can do is to remove themselves from the scene altogether. They can't answer our question. They can't tell us what Buddhism is. They've nothing at all to do with Buddhism in the real sense. They are totally irrelevant. So the best thing they can do is simply to disappear. Take off your shoes. 'Tis holy ground. Depart. So we are now very near the end of the poem. There's only one line left. But before we go on to that last line, I want to say something about the previous line from a somewhat different point of view. I want to look at the image I have made use of in the line, take off your shoes, 'tis holy ground. In the East, of course, Buddhists and Hindus take off their shoes when entering a temple or a monastery. But I wasn't thinking of that. Don't those words, take off your shoes, 'tis holy ground, have a slightly familiar ring? Haven't you heard them somewhere before? Well, you probably have, because they come from the Bible. They come from the Old Testament. So let me read you the passage. It's Exodus 3, 1 to 5. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So what have we here? What is an image from the Bible doing in a poem about Buddhism? As I mentioned, I wrote the poem when I was in India, in Kalimpong, in 1957. And I was, of course, a Buddhist. I'd been a Buddhist for 12 years. 12 years. But though I was living in India, I was a Western Buddhist. And it was as a Western Buddhist that I wrote the poem. But what is a Western Buddhist? I've dealt with this question before in other lectures. Very briefly, in those lectures I've said that a Western Buddhist is one who seeks to practice the Dharma under the conditions of modern Western civilization. That is to say, a civilization that is predominantly industrialized, urbanized, and secularized. But that is by no means the whole story. A Western Buddhist is also one who, as a Westerner, has a Western cultural heritage. And that heritage is a very, very rich one. That heritage includes the legacy of classical Greece and of ancient Rome. That legacy, that heritage includes the Renaissance, the 18th century Enlightenment, and the Romantic movement, and very, very much more. That heritage includes countless masterpieces of art, literature, music, architecture, and so on. And as Western Buddhists, we cannot ignore that great heritage. We certainly cannot repudiate it. There is so much that is inspiring and uplifting in it. There's so much in it that stimulates our imagination and deepens our understanding. But what of Christianity? Where does that fit? Surely that too is part of our heritage, even as Western Buddhists. Here it's important to make a vital distinction, a distinction between Christianity as a religion and Christianity as a culture, or more precisely, between Christianity as a doctrinal, not to say dogmatic system, and Christianity as a body of cultural expressions of various formal kinds. Christianity as a religion definitely is not part of the heritage of the Western Buddhist. We should be very clear about this. Christianity is theistic. Buddhism is non-theistic. And the two are quite incompatible. And there are other fundamental differences. I need not go into those differences now. But Christianity as a culture may, however, be part of the cultural heritage of the Western Buddhist. Let me give you an example. An example from my own experience as a Western Buddhist. When I was very young, I read Homer's Iliad. And I was absolutely fascinated by the Iliad. I was fascinated by the story of the Iliad. I was fascinated by the personages, the characters that I encountered in the Iliad. And especially, for some reason or other, I was fascinated by the gods and the goddesses who appear in the course of the Iliad. Zeus, Hera, Pallas Athene, Aphrodite, Ares. I was fascinated by these gods and goddesses. And I thoroughly enjoyed reading the great poem, reading about them. And I've read the poem many, many times since. It's become part of my personal cultural heritage. But I've never believed in the literal existence of the gods and goddesses of the Iliad. I've never worshipped them as an ancient Greek or Roman might have done. The Iliad is part of my cultural heritage. It's not part of my religious heritage. Similarly, 2 or 3 years later, when I was still quite young, I read Milton's Paradise Lost, that great epic. I was fascinated by this too. I was fascinated by the story, and I was fascinated by the characters. And who are the characters in Milton's Paradise Lost? Well, there's God. God's one of the characters. The Messiah, Jesus. The Satan, there's Adam and Eve, the sin and death who are personified. But I did not believe in the literal truth of the story of Paradise Lost in the way that many Christians still do, and I certainly did not believe in the literal existence of the different characters. For me, God and Satan were as real and as unreal as Zeus or Apollo or Aphrodite. So Paradise Lost is part of my cultural heritage. It is not part of my religious heritage. So in that way, Christianity is part of my cultural heritage as a Western Buddhist. The Bible, especially in the Authorized Version, is part of my cultural heritage. If I read it, I don't read it as the Word of God. I read it as literature. I read the Old Testament, if I read it at all, as ancient Hebrew literature, just as I read the Iliad and the Odyssey as ancient Greek literature. Not only that, my cultural heritage is part of me. It enters into what I write. It enters into my poetry. This is not, of course, to make any great claims for my poetry. At the beginning of the lecture, I referred to my poem Hercules and the Birds, the one in which the Finnish student wrote his thesis. Hercules is an ancient Greek hero, a demigod who eventually becomes a god. He was worshipped throughout the Greco-Roman world for many, many centuries. But though I wrote that poem about Hercules, I don't believe literally in his existence as a god, and I certainly don't worship him. In my poem, I simply make use of the image of Hercules, because this image enables me to express something that I want to say. So it's the same with the image from the book of Exodus that I use in the poem The Scholars. It helps me to express something. The Bible as literature is part of my cultural heritage, and its images and characters are part of my cultural heritage, part of my language, so to speak, so that they enter into my poetry quite naturally. So there's no need for Western Buddhists to be afraid of Christianity. Much as we may reject Christianity as a religion, there's no need for us to reject it as a culture.